is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Walked around in the darkness? You walk around in the darkness, you can bump into things. But more than that, when it's dark, if your house is a mess, you don't know it. You don't know it. The mess could be everywhere, but it's dark. Who cares? You know what people do? Well, we don't do this because of our ceiling fans, but here's a little secret I know some of you guys know about. If there's dust on the fan and you're having company over, turn on the fan. Get that thing moving, man. So there's ways to cover up the mess, right? And you know the way that the enemy has covered up our messes so that we don't see them? He's kept us in darkness. We don't see.
You may be able to function without light, but it creates all sorts of problems. As Pastor Troy will illustrate in today's message, just as this life would be much more challenging and messy without any light, your soul needs the light of Christ to function in a healthy way. Our enemy has a way of making you comfortable in the dark. It becomes normal, and anything different than that can become scary. While it can be painful when Jesus lights up your darkness, it's exactly what you need to truly live. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jesus is the Word of God. A word is something that expresses. And in God's case, it's something that creates. An expression of God, if God were to express Himself, Jesus would be that expression, or Jesus is that expression. And in all three forms of communication, we've talked about communication before, right? There's what you say, there's tone of voice, that's how you say it, and then there's body language. Jesus was all of that. He was the perfect expression of the fullness of God. You know, this is where we lose cult groups. You know, people mess up who Jesus is. One group in particular that we'll call out is the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe this. This part is changed in their Bible. They have their own translation called the New World Translation. It's out there. The New World Translation. And this verse is translated this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's what it says in the New World Translation, which is the Jehovah's Witness Bible. And they'll say this, and they have an argument here. What they do is they go back to the Greek, right? First of all, you guys don't understand Greek mostly, so it's a safe place to go. So they go back to the Greek, and they are actually right in their argument. But let me explain. They will say that, you know, when it says that the Word was with God in the Greek, it doesn't give the definite article for God anymore. It excludes it. Every time the Greek phrases refer to God, the God, because there are false gods, it says, ha theos, the God. But this time, it says theos, not ha theos, not the God. So it must not be referring to the God. It must be referring to another God. You know, he's a God. And so they place in their Bibles, he is a God. Now, this is where, even in the Greek, you need context. You still have to read the sentence structure, because what happens is, yes, the definite article is removed, but there's another word that's placed there, and it speaks not of God as the self-same person, but as God in nature and essence. So, If John had left a definite article there, this is, you didn't know you were coming to Greek class today. If John had left a definite article there, it would have contradicted what he just said when he said, and the Word was with God. It would have contradicted everything. Because what he would have been saying is, and the Word, or, and he is the self-same person as God. But he's not. He's making a distinction between two persons of the Godhead. And so he can't say that. He can't say the Word was with God and the Word was the self-same person as the God I've referred to. So he speaks of him in nature. And he was the self-same exact nature as God. So what he says then is not ha-theos, but theos and halagos. And now that you have that clear and we understand, here's what's being said. If we were to write this literally, here's what would have been written. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, another person of the Godhead who would be the leader, God, the Father. Okay, so the Word was with God. And here's what it would have said if it were written exactly. And God was the Word. In other words, God is one God, and this Word is God. So the Father God, however, this Word is God, because God is the Word. So when the Word came into being, it was God. That's what John is saying. Very clearly, if you're someone who speaks fluent Greek. But for us, we need to go back. This is one of those times where the answer that some have an objection against is in the clear writing of Scripture. Okay, so that's clear now. We can move forward a little bit. Now, this is why we're only attempting five verses today. Verse 2 says, he was in the beginning with God. All right, notice he refers now to he. Okay, he's been a word, the Word. But now he's a he. He was in the beginning. So the Word is beginning. Now, in verse 14, we'll get there later on. We won't get there today. But in verse 14, these kind of tie together. Because in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So we know that that's Jesus. Verse 14 gives that away. But he's clearly a person. And John points out that Jesus is the one who came to this earth and went to the cross, and that this same Jesus who came, who is the expression of God, is God. Some will ask this question. If he is God, then why is he called the Son of God? How can you be the Son of God if you're God? Very simple. I told you, this is a tough one. Okay. It has nothing to do with him being God or not being God, the Son of God. That he's not God, he's the Son of God or a sub-God. Here's what the expression or phrase means. First of all, the way Jesus was conceived in our language makes him a Son of God. Who's he the Son of? He was born. Got to have someone as a father, right? Well, he's the Son of God because of the way he was conceived. God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary, and she was with child. So Jesus is, in that sense, the Son of God. Not sub-God, not less than God, but in that sense, the Son of God. Second, in that culture, there was a phrase that was very common. People would use it of themselves. Kings would use it of themselves, actually. Even pharaohs would use it way before then, would use it of themselves. And it was Son of God. And all the phrase meant was, it was a phrase used to speak of someone on earth who was more than a man. He was no mere mortal. So the pharaohs would refer to themselves as Son of God, and they would say the Son of God, Ra, or whichever god that they identified their personality or temperament with. They were a son of the gods, meaning I am more than human. And so to refer to Jesus as the Son of God is to say of him, he's more than human. He's not just human. He's God. So that's why the phrase Son of God. Don't get stumbled by that either. So who is Jesus in relation to God? He is God. That's his relationship to God. He's the second person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hard to explain, but John, who writes this gospel, would say, believe. That's the title or theme of the Gospel of John, believe. In fact, the key verse that gives us the definition of our theme here, believe, is John chapter 20, verse 31, which says this, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So, that's the theme. That's why that's our title. And that's why John is starting where he does. That's a hard point, but it's a foundation. And trust me, we're going to move a lot faster now because that was the foundation for everything going forward. Verse 3, it says, "All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." So second, we'll talk about who is Jesus in relation to the universe. How many things were made through him? All. And whether you go to the Greek or any other language, that it means everything, all-inclusive, nothing left out. In fact, in case someone might get confused, John also states it in the negative. He says, everything was made by him. And if you didn't get that, there's nothing that was made that was not made by him. So, wherever you draw your little circle, did he make all this? Yes. What about anything out here? Yes, he made everything. So, everything. The Bible affirms that Jesus is the creator, that Jesus was there at creation and that nothing was created without him. Of course, Darwin came along and disagreed with him. Many people bought into that, and they say that it was by random chance. To be honest with you, they have faith because they weren't there. And no signs are millions of years old, so they have to use certain dating systems that say, this is about a million years old. No one was there. We've talked to no one who's a million years old. We have no records. We have no proof, but we kind of date stuff back that far just because we do. And so they have faith to believe in something that they can't prove. They've chosen to put their faith in a big bang, something that happened. But the scriptures, when you read them, when you understand what happened, where this all came from, we're still, you know, if we had evolved to where we are, would you say we've achieved perfection? Wouldn't you say that over these past thousands of years, something should have continued to evolve? You know, like since we've been tracking man, we haven't changed a bit. We're still making the same mistakes. We're still doing the same things. We still can't fly. That'd be nice. It'd be very helpful. We got enemies. I mean, trust me, if we were evolving, I would have been able to fly. Mothers would have eyes in the back of their heads. But that hasn't happened. So you have to pick what you're going to believe. Because it's by faith. And even those who don't believe do so by choosing their own faith.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So to each is given a measure of faith, and we do what we want with it. And the reason that people don't believe is because they don't want to. He doesn't fit what they want. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week as we get into Jesus and what he came to do, his mission, or John the Baptist, in fact, his mission. So Jesus created everything. Nothing was made without him. Here's what that means practically for you and I. If Jesus is the creator of everything, if he put everything together, if he holds it all together, then that means when things are broken in your life, he has the answers. He knows how to put it together. He's the one that you can go to for any and everything. The one you should go to, in fact. You know, the enemy came in and tried to distort and deceive. He's lying. He's trying to get us to buy into philosophies and ideas and priorities that are from him that take us away from the Lord. We spoke about him last week in detail. But the Lord came that we might see the light and have life. John 10:10 says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So who is Jesus in relation to the universe? Well, he's the creator. He created everything. Because of that, our lives should reflect his creativity. Our lives should bring him glory as we live them. This is one reason that he came, that we might know him, that we might know the truth, that we might see the light of the world, verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So finally, let's talk about who is Jesus in relation to mankind. These two verses that we just read, they describe Jesus' coming. He came. He took upon himself human life, and in that life was light. The way he lived it, what he said, how he treated people, it was light to people. But they didn't comprehend it. They didn't get him. They didn't understand it. He was different. Like you, when you as a Christian, you begin to change. You do things only because God has said to. No one else has necessarily said it. It may not even be right or wrong morally in the eyes of the world, but God has spoken, God speaks, and you start to do things his way. You prioritize his way and people don't get it. Hey, why aren't you doing this? Why is this changing? Why are you putting God first? Why this? And you look different. They don't get you. Well, it makes sense. They don't get him. And so the more like him you become, they're not going to get you either. That's just the way it is. Jesus came into the world to give life because we were lost in sin. And the world, who's still stuck in darkness, they don't get it. In fact, it's like a light turned on. You know, when it's dark, total dark, and someone just flips on a light suddenly. You remember those feelings, those experiences? Like, whoa, goodness, stop. That's what it can be like for the world. It's not a light that they necessarily like because it exposes them, exposes the things that they're doing. Hey, we're just having a good time. But when you're around, guess what happens? It's not a good time. And now don't invite that person. They're no fun. What they mean is they don't indulge themselves in the sin that we're enjoying. And so I can't really enjoy it when they're around. So don't invite them. Exclude them because you begin to shine a light. You don't even have to say anything. It's just your life. It's the choices that you're making that makes a difference. Jesus came and was that light. He said of himself, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look to me. So, in relation to mankind, Jesus did a few things. What Jesus did. One, he revealed God. He revealed God to him. We could know God because of Jesus. What is God like? How compassionate is he? How merciful is he? You look to Jesus and you see who God is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Firstborn, not meaning he's the older brother, but the firstborn in status, in position. He is the one who has inherited all of the blessings, who he's the one who lived right and received the inheritance, but he offers that because he takes our sin upon himself. He takes our sin, we get the inheritance. We get the blessings, those who put their faith in him. More than just revealing God, which is what John's been trying to say, is he gave us light. which John has just said too. He gave light to darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" See, have you ever walked around in the darkness? You walk around in the darkness, you can bump into things. But more than that, when it's dark, if your house is a mess, you don't know it. You don't know it. The mess could be everywhere, but it's dark. Who cares? You know what people do? Well, we don't do this because of our ceiling fans, but here's a little secret I know some of you guys know about. If there's dust on the fan and you're having company over, turn on the fan. Get that thing moving, man. So there's ways to cover up the mess, right? And you know the way that the enemy has covered up our messes so that we don't see them? He's kept us in darkness. We don't see. We don't see the wrong that we do. We don't see the things that are wrong. The messes that we've made, we don't see them for what they are. We're blaming everybody else. And so we have these messes and we're in the dark and we're okay. We're bumping around. We're stumping our toes. Things are happening. It's not so great, but hey, it's my life. It's my mess. But when Jesus comes, it's like he flips on the light switch. He's around you and boop, whoa, look at this mess. And you can see it. And it's not all that good. So, if your heart is set that I don't want to clean it, I don't want to clean the mess, you're going to flip off the light, get out of here. I don't want Jesus. I don't want these things around me. They offend me. They stumble me. Really, you're already stumbling in your own darkness, but you don't like those things. But if you're honest, you know, there's a few reactions. One is turn off the light real quick and go, I got to think about this. Man, that's true. I need the light. Or to say, and I need to clean this stuff up. I never realized it was here. And you begin moving that direction. Jesus turns on the light, so he gave us light. And then third, save the lost. Save those who would believe. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We were lost in that darkness. Now, let me just tell you something about this Gospel of John. I believe personally that studying this book has the potential to build your faith. You want increased faith? I believe this book has the potential to increase that faith because it's going to tell you who Jesus is, what he's able to do, what he's done, what you're able to do because of him. The more you know him, the more your faith increases. Not the more you necessarily know the laws or the words or the Gospels or the Galatians and all this stuff. The more you know him, the more your faith increases. And this book reveals him. And John asks you, believe. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the one who wants a relationship with you. Jesus is God accessible. Every person is born and is exposed to some level of light. And therefore, they must act on that light because they will be held accountable to God. Some will go from not comprehending to not accepting. And John chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Did you see why they love the darkness better? Not because they love the mess so much, but they didn't want to give up the mess, the things that led to the mess, all of the stuff. They didn't want to give up them, their stuff, their things, their ways. And they didn't want to embrace the Lord wholeheartedly. So there was a choice made.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in